You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here with you all. It is all right if I say y'all in the South, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. It is good to be here. And I rejoice with you on your 25th anniversary. Praise the Lord. I am a PK. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I know, praise the Lord, how it is to make it 25 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it is just a joy and a privilege and an honor to be here to celebrate with you. Amen. And it is a time of celebration. Praise God. Amen. When I was here before, I told you I've done enough funerals. Amen. Back home, we're still burying people, seems like every week. So when I get to come to a celebration like this, amen. Yeah. Now, somebody said somebody was doing flips in here last night. Hello? All the flipping power is not gone, right? The power to flip is present this morning. Amen. Amen. But it's not my intention to hold you all day today. Amen. But just give the things that are on my heart today and just share with you. Amen. And let's have a celebration this week. I think most of you know, amen, I'm kind of a rowdy kind of person. Amen. That's just kind of my lifestyle. I like bringing joy. Amen. And the shout and the victory. Amen. You know, there are some people that come around and you can sense the gloom and doom and agony. But I'm not one of those people. Thank God. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't have to live that way no more. Amen. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to open them to Psalm 118 today. This is one of those scriptures that I just love. Amen. I think everybody ought to start the day out singing. That's just my attitude, that you ought to wake up happy in the morning. Amen. Glad to see another day. Amen. Glad to be in the land, as the old folks used to say, glad to be in the land of the living, baby. I'm glad to be in the land of the living and have the activity of my, oh, come on now. Amen. I woke up this morning clothed and in my right mind. Well, we question that, mother, but anyhow, we. Amen. So this is a psalm, amen, that we're going to get into here today. Amen. And my pastor was just here, Pastor Hagen. Amen. And he taught us in Bible school, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back again. Amen. Amen. It is good to be back again. Praise God. But here in Psalm 118, the psalmist says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Come on, y'all. It's three groups of people that he talks about just right off the bat. Amen. He starts out by saying, oh, whew, give thanks unto the Lord. I just like the O's in the Bible. Oh, oh, oh. We used to sing a song in my old church that, oh, what he's done for me. Oh, 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 what he's done for me. Say, oh, 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 what he's done for me. I never shall forget what he's done for me. It's just something about the O's, the O's. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he is good. Amen. The psalmist says, I give thanks unto the Lord because he is good. Amen. And but he doesn't stop there. He's like, join in with me. Let Israel now say, say the Lord that his mercy endure forever. You know, it's one thing to think things in our mind, but it's another thing to articulate. It's one thing to be appreciative about something in your heart, but it's another thing to open your mouth and say what's in your heart. Amen. Even when it comes to our prayers, amen, God knows the desires of our heart. He knows those desires there, but still yet he tells us to ask him for the desires that are in our heart. Even though he knows, he still says ask. And anytime you ask and you receive, it's always proper to say thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the psalmist says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. I want Israel to say it this morning. Say it one more time.
His mercy endureth forever.
Amen. And then it says, let the house of Aaron, let the priesthood get in on this thing. Amen. And now say that his mercy endureth forever. Amen. He's getting everybody from the beginning to the end. Everybody needs to get in. Everybody needs to get in on the mercy of God. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. Amen. And I know through these 25 years of pastoring, and probably several of you have been with pastors the whole time of 25 years of pastoring, that you know that the mercy of God has gotten you through a lot of things. If it was not for his mercy, whoo, where would we be? Thank God for his mercy. Amen. But then he goes on in verse 4 and he says this, let them that now fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Mercy covers every area of our lives. Mercy works for every person. Amen. God has healing mercies. Glory to God. Amen. All kinds of mercies that are new every morning. And we sing a song that says, great is thy faithfulness. Huh? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto. Yeah. Morning by morning, new mercies, new mercies, new mercies, new mercies, new mercies. We see them every morning. Amen. But he goes on to say in verse 5, he says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Everybody say large place. Notice how the psalmist goes into this, that he's singing and he's ministering unto the Lord. And he starts out by having everybody acknowledge the mercies of God, getting our focus on the mercies of God, not on the problem, not on the test, not on the trial, but God's mercy. And then he begins to talk about his enemies. And he says, again, verse 5, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. I'm sorry, verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. Have you ever been in distress? Shoo. The Lord answered me, and the Lord's answer for distress is enlargement. Amen. I'll say that again. The Lord's answer for distress is not to take the distress away, but to set you in a larger place. Amen. I'm on my way down in weight. Thank God. Hallelujah. But I noticed when I was going up that I would get in distress with my clothes. Huh? The threads would get in distress. Somebody knows what I'm talking about today. And so in order to get the distress, amen, off the threads, I had to go to the next size. I went to a larger. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Larger place, and I found out that that larger place was more comfortable. Hello, I wasn't restricted anymore because I'd stepped into something larger. Many times we are growing and we're developing and we want God to deliver us out of a place, but God wants to enlarge our territory. Amen. He wants to set us in a larger place. Everybody say larger place.
Larger.
Say it again, larger place.
Larger.
See, some of y'all's houses are too small.
Yeah.
All right, I better not.
Woo!
Amen. And he wants to set you in a larger place. Amen. And you like, well, we can't afford what we got now. See, that's distress, baby. That's distress. It's an increase in our faith where he sets us into a larger place, and we kind of get upset because sometimes we can't keep up with what we have now. And part of the enlargement of our faith means that people are added into our life. Praise the Lord. And because you can't get all the work done, that means God wants to give you an ability to hire people to help you get done what you need done. It's a larger place and no distress. It's distressful. It's distress when you have to take care of all of it. But when you got three or four people helping you and all you got to say is, hey, Junie, I need this done and that done. Amen. Are you fired? All the distress, huh? Because I'll get somebody in here that'll do it.
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. So David said, I called unto the Lord in my distress, under the pressure of things. I called unto the Lord, and he set me in a large place. Whew. The ability that you have on the inside of you to move out of the position that you've been in into a greater place that God has called you to. Release stress, release pressure. You know, sometimes even in parents getting older, parents move in with us and, you know, we have to take care of them and all that. And all that's wonderful. But sometimes you need a bigger place where you can put mama out back. Love you, baby girl, but we're going to put you in a place back there. Amen. Where you keep an eye on you, see if Fred comes over or not. But amen. Don't let mama fool you. She's still got fire burning. Don't let her. Y'all doing all right this morning? God set him into a larger place and gave him all the help that he needed. And then he goes on in verse 6 and he says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Everybody say this morning, the Lord is on my side.
The Lord is on my side.
Say it one more time, the Lord is on my side.
The Lord is on my side.
And because he's on our side, we don't have to have any fear.
Amen.
I know this is simple this morning, but I'm telling you that the pressures of life can just come upon you and you can forget what you know. Just because we know something doesn't mean that we act on what we know. I don't know about you, but I'll say this about me. So I know the word, but sometimes I'll act out of my flesh and the word has to catch up. Huh? Because I didn't act it out my flesh. I didn't say what I wanted to say, you know. And then the word catch up and said, you shouldn't have said it like that. And I go and apologize. And like, hold up. Woo! Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Amen. But we give the word first place in our lives. Amen. And we allow the Lord to work in us and grow us. Amen. And to develop us to where we don't act out of our flesh like we used to. Huh? Some of y'all been here 25 years now, right?
Yeah.
You ain't supposed to act like you did 25 years ago. If you still the same as you were 25 years ago, see me after service. I'll help you. I'll throw some good fertilizer on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to have anxiety in life. Why? Amen. Because the Lord is on our side. The psalmist goes on and says in verse 7, that the Lord takes part with me. The Lord taketh part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. I'm keep on moving. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Everybody knows that we have an election coming up tomorrow. Amen. And I voted before I left home. Hello. Because there's some people I don't want in office. Amen. I don't want crazy in my house. Amen. Let alone crazy in the nation and in the community. Amen. Praise the Lord. Real quiet. All right. Must be a little bit of tenderness there. A little tender. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we vote righteously. Amen. I want to, brother, but I'm... Amen. But sometimes we like to bring our carnal issues in the church and try to make them spiritual issues. We try to bring our hurts and things that happened in the past, especially as black people. I'll just say it straight out. Because I'm a black person. I'm about the blackest thing up in here, so... Brother looked at me like, yeah, you black. Amen. My granddaddy told me a long time ago, blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I ain't got no problem. But anyhow. I'm sorry. I don't mean to mess up your jazz. But we try to bring our issues and things that happened in the past, amen, and try to relive over and over again what our ancestors went through. And we don't let go of stuff. At some point, you got to forgive and go on. Ain't nobody running around the building this morning, is it? You got to forgive, forget, and just go on. Amen. Hello. I know people don't like it, but I'm one of those people that my family was one of the first families to integrate the schools that we were in. Hello. Oh, we won't talk about the Lord on my side. Hello. That's when he's on your side, when you break in new territory. Okay. When we're breaking new ground, amen. He's the ones that sustains us and helps us. Amen. He put us there in that position. He's not going to leave us helpless. He's going to get us through it. Yeah, people are going to say things. People are going to do things. People are going to act out their flesh just like I act out my flesh. But there's forgiveness. There's new mercies. There's new mercies that we rely on every morning. And so you got to learn how to turn family off. Yeah. Amen. Got to learn how to turn the community off. This is not in my notes this morning. Got to learn how to turn the hurt and all those things off. Amen. And walk in the newness of this life that we're called to. Walk in the newness of a renewed mind. This is part of letting our light shine, that men may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I'm talking to the black people right now. Pastor, I don't know if you can talk to them like that, but if they get mad at me, I tell them some stuff in private. Amen. Amen. We got to be the light, you all. We've got to be the lights. We've got to be the one who is a voice for the Father. We are to let our light shine in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the turmoil. Gotta let our light shine. Praise the Lord. I need to move on. But when I was in high school, I was president. My senior year, I was president of the Black Student Union. This is not in my notes, Jesus, but I guess somebody needs this morning. And because of the community that I lived in, there's a lot of, when February would come every year, there'd be a lot of racial tension and a lot of fighting and a lot of gangs getting against one another. And sometimes they'd even have to close the school down because there'd be so much violence. And this particular year that I was president of the Black Student Union, when February came, got all the black people together and said, listen, we're not having violence this year in school. You don't know. I'm just as black as you are. I do know. I said, we're not doing it. We're not tearing up our schools. We're not getting into it with people. Amen. We're just not going to do it this year. And so every morning when we came to school, we'd get together in the locker banks and we would pray. Y'all listening to me this morning. We get together in the locker banks and we would pray, amen, and we ask the Lord for help, and we bind the hand of the enemy, amen, and we declared peace over the school, peace, not destruction, oneness, one accord, amen, and we pray. And our principal, he was a big white man. He'd come and he'd just look at us praying. And so one day he came by because, you know, they started the chatter about why he always coming by here. He just trying to do something. So one day he was walking by and I called his name and I said, sir, would you like to join us in prayer this morning? Hey. Hey. He's like, well, well, what do you do? And he just said, no, I'll stand right here and I'll listen. And so that morning I felt inspired to pray for him. Amen. And so I prayed. This is when I was still Pentecostal. All right. Touch him, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Move on him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. He told Obo Shaha. You know. And you could just see him getting redder and redder. But that year we didn't have any race riots. It was a peaceful year. Because somebody decided we're going to have peace. What are you going to have in your communities? What are you going to have in your household? Are you going to stand up and be a peacemaker? Well, praise the Lord. Real quiet in the sanctuary this morning. But again, verse 9, he says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There are people who are over us, people who have authority over us, but our confidence and our trust is in the Lord. That's where it's at. We're in verse 10. It says, all nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I like this dude, but in the name of the Lord, will I destroy them? That's kind of like my attitude. Ooh, Jesus, I just want to take him out, Lord. Kind of have that Peter attitude. You mess with me, I cut your head off. And that's the attitude that the psalmist had. It's good for us as believers to have a fight on the inside of us. Amen. But we just need to put it in the right direction. Amen. And in the right context of what we're dealing with. Amen? Amen. And the psalmist said, listen, whoo, I'll destroy them. I will destroy them. And you know he was a fighter. He took out Goliath. He took out the lion. He took out the bear. Come on, somebody. He's like, and when he say he going to destroy something, he mean, I'm going to take it out. I won't see you no more. Whoo. And there are things in our life that we need to be just that vocal about. Hello, when it comes to sickness and disease, come on. I shared my mother's testimony last time I was here. Amen. I'm not dying from cancer. I don't care what kind of cancer it is. Yes. Just not having it. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, they compass me about. They compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Verse 12, he says, they compass me about like bees. Hello? I don't know if you've ever run into a bee's nest before. But I've cut grass, huh? And didn't know that the bee's nest was there. And I hit the hedge. And all of a sudden, bees were all over me. Hello, somebody. I was fighting to get them off of me. One time my brother got into a bee's nest. Amen. And he swole all up. Praise the Lord. I can't say me things about my brother, can I? Amen. But he swole all up, and the situation didn't look good. And we were all there at the house, and my mother was kind of being mama at the time. We need to get him to the doctor. And my father looked at him, at her, and he said, I got him. And she was still being mama. And he looked at her and he said, take the kids, take the rest up, and y'all go somewhere. When you come back, he'll be all right. I said. And when he did that, I said, she's like, y'all come on. And so anyway, when we got back to the house, my brother was normal. Well, as close to normal as he could be. But he was normal, and I asked my brother, I said, now, what did Daddy do? What did he do? Because I want to know. These bees had stung him, and he was all swollen, and the situation didn't look good. And he said, Daddy took me, and he put me in a bathtub of water, and he put some Clorox and some other stuff in the water. You know, that's my daddy. I don't know. I don't know about putting the Clorox in the water with your son and all that. But he put some Clorox in there and some other. Maybe that's what's wrong with my brother today, man. And he said, Daddy took a cup and he just started pouring water over my head and just saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And as he poured it over my head, he said, the swelling just began to go down. And it went down, it went down. And he said, next thing, I was okay. I was just all right. Amen. Got to know our authority. Amen. Though the enemy comes in like bees and so many things are attacking us and coming after us thing after thing after thing after thing after thing, and it can seem like we're just caught up, come on, in the trials and in the test of life. Come on, 25 years of ministry, whoo! It didn't seem like you hit a bee's nest every day sometime. Hello? This thing after thing after thing. But he goes on to say, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, what does he say? This dude is a fighter. Goes on in verse 13, says, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helpeth me. He goes on to say, the Lord is my strength and my song, and it's become my salvation. The voice of the Lord, the voice of rejoicing and salvation, is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. Verse 15 again, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing and salvation, hallelujah, is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. And I love this. He says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Can everybody say that this morning? Come on. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes when we're going through tests and trials, you're expecting the Lord to pity you, and instead he corrects you. I had the Lord to correct me in times where I feel like he should have been on my side. You need to correct them, Jesus. You don't need to be correcting me right now. They the ones with the problems. Like, no, you're the one with the bigger issue, Philip. Well, praise the Lord. You're already feeling bad. You're already feeling guilty. And here it is, God going to start talking to you about real issues in your life that you need to deal with. Whew, you don't feel like getting up running around the room when he talks to you like that. But those changes are life-saving changes. Are you listening to me this morning? Those changes, when he talks to us in those times, he has our attention. And he corrects us. And he helps us make the adjustments in our attitudes. Come on, in our walk with him. He helps us make those necessary corrections. Amen. So that we can live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Many people die. Many believers die because they won't make the correction. There are things that the Lord is talking to people about. They're in a serious condition. He says, correct this, change this. Hello? And loved ones and pastors and preachers, everybody are around praying and believing God. And God's telling them, correct this. Correct this right here. And they're trusting on the prayers of the saints to raise them up when they need to make the correction. And that's what will raise them up. I'm trying not to be too heavy and hard this morning. But there are corrections that need to be made. Just because you've been around a long time doesn't mean that there's not stuff in your life that you need to correct. Okay. Everybody say, I'm correctable.
I'm correctable.
I receive correction.
Amen.
Now listen, as you're sitting there, the Lord is dealing with something in your heart with you. Don't just sit there and act like you don't hear what's being said. Make the adjustment. Make the correction. It don't take long. Just make it. Amen. Sometimes correction, I'll just go here right now. Sometimes correction has to be made toward leadership. Not one amen, not a grunt, not a oh my God. So I'll just stay here for a while. Maybe I'll finish the rest of my message this morning on this. Amen. But sometimes correction has to be made in our outlook on our leaders, those that are over us. Amen. Pastorally, amen, in the home, hello, on the job. A lot of different areas, amen, that we have leaders, and we're supposed to be submissive people, right? But we can have bad attitudes about our leader. I just don't like them. Maybe a little grunt. Maybe that was a little grunt. But we can let things get in our heart, and when those things get in our heart, those things begin to separate us from their voice in our lives. Again, that's not just on a pastoral level. We are in a church setting, and your pastors are here. And so we want the lines of communication to be open. But when there's a little something in your heart, maybe pastor didn't say hi when he walked by. He spoke to everybody else. I don't do good with the neck thing, but. And he didn't walk by. He didn't say nothing to me. Well, maybe the last person that he spoke to just told him, Pastor, please pray because I had to take my husband to the hospital this morning. And maybe that's on his mind. Maybe he's saying a prayer on his way. And so he didn't really see you. Pastor Rhonda really didn't see you when she went by because she's saying that quick word of prayer for somebody. And you're like, look at him. Oh, come on, flesh is flesh, no matter whose bone is on. Flesh act out. And so those little things that the enemy tries to put in there and tries to sow those seeds in our heart so that when the Lord does give a word through them, it's hard for us to receive because we had that little. You ain't talked to me. Now you won't give me a word. Okay, I see that's that's going really good. But we have to make those hard adjustments. Got to make those attitude adjustments so that we can receive. I traveled with Kenneth Hagin for almost 11 years. And when you're with somebody all the time, you can kind of get familiar with them. Are you with me? And so we had to deal with Brother Hagin a lot in the natural. Deal with the Hagin family a lot in the natural. And just so you know, he wasn't always in the spirit. Amen. There are times that he could say things a little rough. And he could be heavy. Hello? And you want to say, I'll hit you in the back of your head. You know? Just because it's that natural side. Amen. To deal with. And he is a prophet. And Pastor Hagin was my pastor. And, you know, and working with him and being there, you had to deal with that natural side. But also you had to deal with the spiritual side. And so sometimes that natural side would try to override the spiritual side. And you had to continually remind yourself, listen, you're not here just because you want to be here. You're here because this is the place that God designed you to be. And you will keep your attitude right, Philip. You will. Amen. If you display an ugly attitude, you're going to go buy them something. You're going to go shine their shoes. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, you're going to humble yourself. You're going to humble yourself. Amen. You're not going to get up in pride and not humble yourself. You're going to make the correction. Everybody say, make the correction. Make the correction. You're not going to let your pride, amen, get you out of the plan and the purpose of God for your life. You're going to humble yourself so situations don't have to. I humble myself. Yeah, they said something I didn't like. Yeah, they did something I didn't like. They did it. They did it. That's how I acted with God. God, they did it. You know they did it. Well, you go make things right with them. But they the ones that did it, Jesus. It's a matter of me keeping my heart in a place where I can receive. I'm almost done. I got 3 services, right? Oh, yeah. I got plenty of time. I got to one of those spots in life where I was going to get married. I was tired of I was done being single. I was done. And I started dating this young lady. And I got serious about her really quick. And, you know, I was telling some of the group, I'm going to marry her and all this. And we were in service one night. And Brother Hagin came by, and he stood by me. You know, it had been one of them times when he kind of said something or did something that I didn't like. And he looked down at me, and he said, Philip, be careful. Be very, very careful. The enemy has a trap set for you, but you don't have to fall into the enemy's trap. You know what to do. And he drew back and said, bam. Well, that was another opportunity to get offended, you know. Now, is he doing this because he's mad at me, or is he? Hello, you know how your mind does. But when he was saying those words were registering. They registered on my spirit. And I knew that I was getting ready to make a mistake, getting ready to take my life in a direction that I didn't need to. Amen. So I had to receive that word that he gave me. Are you with me? Are you hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying this morning? Maybe it's not for you, it's for the people who are not here. You need to deliver this word to them. But I had to make an adjustment in my heart toward my leader so that I could receive what the Holy Ghost was saying to me through him. And thank God I got it. Because I got out of service and I called that girl. We were out of town, but I called that girl and I said, hey, hey, it's over. I hate to do this over the phone. I know it's awful. I know it's awful. I know it is awful. But I had to get that thing off me. Hello? Hello? I knew I needed to act on it right then, because when I got back home and she was like, hey, you know, prophet ain't standing in front of me now, you know. She's standing in front of me now saying, hey. Okay, let me. That totally shifts the atmosphere when she goes, hey. So I knew I had to act on that word immediately. And it came at a time when I could have been offended at my leader. We want the Lord to be on our side. And the Lord being on our side means that he will correct us. He'll tell us where we need to make adjustments in our life so that we can live long, so that we can prosper, so that we can be blessed. And again, it's just not here in this place, but it's every area of our life where we have people over us. Every leader is not a good leader. Every boss is not a good boss. Hello? But we're in a position, God puts us in a position where we can pray for people. God puts us in a position where we can grow. We get in a position where we can use our faith and we can develop. And we say, I can remember when they were a devil. They were a devil. But we prayed and we believed God. Amen. And now this man that was crazy and out of his mind is a mighty man of God. I believe that the Lord is moving many people in this place today into a larger place. But there are adjustments that have to be made in our heart. There are adjustments that have to be made in our thinking, in our outlook on things. Because you can't carry a carnal mindset into an atmosphere that requires spiritual maturity. Can't carry it in there. So something's got to change. And that change has to be that our minds be renewed to the word of God. Our minds being renewed to the will of God. I know this is not a shouting message this morning. We started out rejoicing. But then we get down to where it's really at, where adjustments need to be made. To go further, you want the adjustments to be made. You don't want to carry the old into the new. I'm going to say that again. You don't want to carry the old into the new. You want to go into the new that God has for you with a totally different mindset, totally different outlook. When I came to Oklahoma from Virginia, I was in a pretty much predominantly black environment. Then all of a sudden, the Lord has me in an all-white environment. They don't sing like we do. They don't testify like we do. They don't clap on 2 and 4 like we do. They don't put no runs in their singing. Hello? Even when they have food after service, it's just bland. It ain't no seasoning. Hello? And the devil uses all those things. Hello? They seem like natural things, But the enemy uses those natural things to build these strongholds in our mind, and we're, God's trying to move us into something new, but it ain't no seasoning salt on it, Jesus. Well, bring your own seasoning salt. Stop complaining about what they not doing and bring your own seasoning salt. If it's bland, here now, baby, taste a little bit of this. This is what it's supposed to taste like. But we make adjustments. My grandmother lived to be 106. And my grandmother was one of those people, she believed in putting sugar on everything. She made collard greens. Hello. She made collard greens and she sprinkled a little sugar in there. She made green beans and sprinkled a little sugar in there. She made macaroni and cheese and sprinkled a whole lot of sugar. You know, and people would look at it and they would think, oh my God, sugar will kill you. She said, it ain't killed me. I hear it right now in my head. Amen. See, it ain't killed me. And I'm 102 and I'm still cooking and I'm still doing what I want to do. And if you eating my food, you eating sugar, baby. But the Lord took me there and I had a mindset of where I was going to. And the place that God had put me in was supposed to be like the place that he had bought me from. And the place that he brought me to was to be nothing like the place he brought me from. Because what he was bringing me into is so much greater than where he brought me from. What he's bringing you into is so much greater. Even after these 25 years, what he's bringing you into is so much greater than where you've come from. What he's bringing you into is so much greater than where you've come from. And I believe this church as a whole, what he's bringing you into is so much greater than where you've come from. And so that means we have to lose the mindsets of where we've been, not just individually, but corporately, and step into this abundant place, this abounding place that he's bringing us into. And he's bringing us into it, but we're making the necessary adjustments so that we can dwell there. Just not enough to be brought up to it, but we want to be able to dwell there and function there and live there and abound in the blessing that is there. But the Lord is working with mindsets this morning. It's afternoon now. And he's bringing us into a more spacious place. And as he brings us into that, again, into these places and into these things, there are enemies and there are things that come against us. But we destroy those things that come against us. We destroy those mindsets that try to hold us, keep us captive. We destroy those things. And we walk into this land of abundant blessing. Sister right there in that, I don't know whether it's green, aqua, right there. Yes, ma'am. Would you come to me for just a minute, please, ma'am? Praise the Lord. Some of this was for you this morning. And the place that God has taken you to is so worth laying aside the past. It is so worth, I know this may sound big, but it's so worth laying aside family tradition, family way of doing things, family way of acting out things, and following the plan of God. Joseph was a man who followed the plan of God. It didn't seem like with all the detours that happened along the way, but in his heart, he followed the plan of God, even though his family didn't understand. And I don't know why family just keeps coming up in my heart towards you. But anyway, I'm one of those that had to not follow my family. I had to break ranks with my family, even though I love them. And praise the Lord. And they nurtured me and they took care of me and blessed me. But when God called, I said, I'm bringing you into a greater place. I had to let them go. And it took years for them to see the place that God had brought me to. It took them a while to see it. I wanted them to see it right away, but it just took a while. It is worth leaving it all to follow the plan. Just follow the plan. Follow the plan. Amen. Follow the plan. Follow the plan. Well worth it. Well worth it. Shoo. It's well worth it. Rich dividends in following the plan. Amen. Sister, does that mean anything to you? Amen. Amen. If it doesn't, forget it. Amen. I could miss it. If it doesn't mean anything, forget it and move on. But if it means something to you, amen, take it and follow the plan. Do the plan wholeheartedly, and God will bring around the ones that he needs to bring around. I was pretty hateful and just mad before I started following the plan. It's just mad. My family couldn't understand, why are you mad all the time? So I got to deal with you. You'd be mad if you had to deal with you too. In my first year of Bible school, there was such a revolution in my life, God made such a change in my life that my family paid for my second year of school. That's a building run right there. That big. Now my family's blessed today because I followed the plan. It's a spacious place that God is bringing you into. I want you to take time today and just get along with him. Let him talk to you. Let him deal with those sensitive areas of your life. Let him deal with those things that you don't want to let go of. Hello, somebody. Let him talk to you. And he'll help you lay those things aside. He'll help you see his plan. He'll help you see the call that he has on your life. Praise the Lord. Sister, all right, if I talk to you a minute. Yes, ma'am. All right, if I talk to you a minute. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of changing that you can see happening in your family. And in those that are around you. Your weight carries more voice. Your voice carries more weight than what you realize. And there are a lot of things that you can sit in order. There are a lot of things that you can see take change and take shape in the form that God has for your family. I don't know you. I don't know your family. I don't know what's going on in your family. But I just sensed that in my heart, that what you say out of your mouth can make all the changes that need to be done. Even though things have gone a certain way for years, as you begin to speak and as you begin to say those things that God puts in your heart, it will change your family to the good. Amen. It'll change your family to the good. Amen. Is that you walking with that cane? Amen. Well, we just release the life of God inside your body right now. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens your body now. It strengthens your body now. It makes you whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And you'll find from this day forward that you gain strength in your limbs. You gain strength in your limbs. We speak strength in your limbs in the name of Jesus. Clarity in your mind in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And what the enemy has designed to take you out, to take you under, amen, those things are destroyed in the name of Jesus. And your latter days are going to be glorious, sister. Woo! Glorious, 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 glorious. Shoo! You'll say, how in the world is this possible? And all you'll be able to say is, look what the Lord has done, baby. This is the Lord's doing right here. You're looking at the Lord. When you look at me, you're looking at the Lord's doings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Good changes in your family. Amen. Just speak the right thing and there'll be good changes in your family. There'll be good changes in people that you thought would absolutely not change. As you speak it, they will change. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you glad to be here today?
Yes.
Amen. God has so much in store for us this weekend. Y'all bring your dance tonight. Let me help you a little bit. Don't bring your worship tonight. Bring your praise tonight. All right? Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I like to worship. Well, you stay at home then. All right? That ain't what we're doing tonight. So how can you say that? Because I already got to lean into where we're going. Amen. Amen. I want you to be in the flow. Because here we go. Amen. But I like worship. Well, you can do that tomorrow when Brother Marty comes. We love you. Make those adjustments. Make those changes. Amen. Because God is bringing you into a spacious place.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWALMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.